passionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Hail Discordia. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are live from so-called Vancouver, and this is Hail Discordia. This is our first live episode. We'll begin by acknowledging that we're bringing this conversation to you from the unceded, ancestral, and shared territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver. We're honored to be talking on this land today, which was never ceded to the Crown, and to which we are therefore grateful guests. At CITR, we do our best to bring light and visibility to the communities and voices that come from this land that we're on, and we never forget that we are guests, and we learn from our time on this land. So we're grateful to be here, and we're jumping right into our first live episode. I am Izzy.
I'm Zoe.
And we're here with a guest, Kiana. Welcome, Kiana. Kiana wrote the article about Vought in our October-November issue of Discorder magazine, which is what we're centering on today. Article is called Vought, about the musician Vought, with illustrations by Ginny Auger and photos by Khan and Ewan.
So this article has some really fun and futuristic themes. We had some really interesting conversations while going through this entire piece and just pulling some really cool themes from it. We talked about whether there's a sort of threshold that exists before we ask a question like, oh, like, what are cyborgs? When are we cyborgs? Is it now or is it sometime? Will it ever be? How connected or disconnected must we be to pass that kind of threshold with just our societal relationship to technology? We thought and chatted about communication styles and forms of interactions between humans, what sort of outlets can offer us an escapism, and different kinds of escapism. And all that being said, we have some really fun conversations to bring to you guys. So we will start with our thought question that all of these discussions really led up to, and that'll be the theme and the core for this episode. How does technology act as a form of escapism in modernity? And does the essence of humanity change as we develop new ways of communication? So I'll let you guys all brew on that, and we'll go into a couple of ads.
Sprouts is a 100% volunteer and student-run organization at UBC. Through the many initiatives, Sprouts aims to make healthy, affordable, and sustainably produced food accessible to everyone on campus. Sprouts is based out of Sprouts Cafe in the basement of the Life Building. With rising food insecurity on campus, they've dedicated practices to making high-quality food and produce available to all through the cafe, community fridge, produce market, and free meal distribution. Learn more about these many initiatives and volunteer opportunities on Instagram at UBC Sprouts.
Every Friday at noon, CITR takes you on a journey through Thunderbird Radioland. A journey of sound and song, of words and music, of the now and then, of the right here and the far away. It's the Eclectic Lunch, every Friday at 12 noon on Thunderbird Radio, 101.9 FM in beautiful Vancouver.
Welcome back to Hail Discordia.
Hey, everybody.
We're thrilled to be here, and we're thrilled to have our friend Kiana with us. So we're going to have a bit of an introduction from them. Kiana, feel free to introduce yourself, and then we're going to hear a reading of just kind of the intro page of the article to get you all situated with what we're going to be talking about, and then we will get into some questions and discussions of our thought question.
Hi, guys. I'm Kiana. I use she or they pronouns. I am, I've been a part of CITR, and I have a show called Crowdflip, which centers music theory, musicology, and gender minorities within the music industry. And I got to interview Vought on that show, and then it became a Discorder issue, which was so exciting. And yeah, Vought is, you'll hear as we get more into the episode and talk about the interview, but she's really a authentic genius of sorts. I'm going to, I guess, just let the issue speak for itself. So I'll just read the first page of the, before the interview actually begins, just a little summary, and include topics of that are going to be in this episode. Okay, so speaking with Vought felt like going through a whirlwind of authentic passion. Passion about the future, robots, and human isolation. By the end of the conversation, one feels like they've connected all the dots necessary to understand the undercover lore which shows up in her self-titled album, Vought. The album explores an extremely wide variety of sounds, genres, and emotion, with an attention to diction and lyrics. Not only does she have an angelic and operatic voice, but her artistic vision goes hand in hand with her talent. In The Way, for example, autotune is utilized to imply Vought is singing from the perspective of a robot. The ability to world build shows up clearly throughout the album, and also more literally in the song Soul Suburban, which features voice notes from fans all over the world mixed in with sounds of their city. This album has the ability to shape the world around you if you let it. Vought will hold your hand and show what the world looks like in the year 4044. There is both beauty and pain that shows up in the way humans operate, but there is still hope. One emotion that consistently arose during our conversation, and within the album itself, was hope. Among the necessary explorations, nuanced pessimism, and fear, hope is an important component of making art related to the future. The album, is sprinkled with hope, and those sprinkles grow when you understand the intricate vision that she brought to life with this album. Yeah. That is what's on the first page. It even says that after the conversation, you feel like you've connected all the dots. Actually, behind the scenes, I guess, I don't know if that's true. I feel like it just scratched the surface where the dots aren't even fully connected because, I don't know, there's still a lot that you can interpret as your own. And it was really helpful, and I think it's always really helpful to hear the side of the artist. But even with that being said, even when you're speaking words, things are still going to be misunderstood, and you're not ever fully going to, 100% understand what someone's saying all the time. And I think that's a really awesome and necessary part of, human interaction.
That is so cool. And I agree. I think art, there's such an important piece of just taking things up for, so much is up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. And I just really love, especially with music, how you're able to connect it to maybe a lot of different personal things. One listener is going to take a different message than another. So it's really cool that you got to speak with the artist and hear, this is what they were making and this is where that piece of art came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It was definitely helpful. After you hear a song, I feel like sometimes, or a piece of work, like an album, there's like a lot of questions that arise. So I'm happy that, yeah, a lot of questions were answered. But yeah, there's still always more. So that's why I'm saying like the dots were fully connected, like, you know, because yeah, you can interpret it your own way, even in if it's a conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. And that's such an important part of human essence, like you were talking about. The sort of imperfection, the way that people understand things differently, mm-hmm. whether it's art or whether it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. And Vought has this like kind of crazy album that she's come up with that pushes these barriers a little bit. And the voiceover for seeming like auto-tune and this idea of AI, it kind of makes you question how in this more digitalized world we're retaining that imperfection and realness of human interaction, mm-hmm. or whether we are.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward into our discussion, I'd love to just remind everyone about our thought questions. We're thinking about how technology might act as a form of escape in modernity, or how the essence of humanity changes as we develop new ways to communicate. And as we've all just touched on, that's so present in the album for Vought. Perfect. So there's this idea of power with AI and with kind of all technology at this point, and even the way that we interact behind a screen versus in person. And power is something that can be wielded for good or for bad.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like Vought might touch on that in the album?
I think, yeah. So with like social media, for example, I think tying into the question of when you guys talk about the essence of humanity changing as we develop new ways to communicate, I think in some ways our conversation touches on hopelessness that can come out of social media and technology, and like the fear that people have with AI and things like that, that is very valid because people fear what they like don't know. But I think what is present and what I took from the album and then what I also took from our conversation was in the album there are parts, there are certain songs where you can tell that they bring up morals with AI, and like how you can't really, if people have morals, there is less that can go wrong and there's less to be feared, and there's, you know, so I think once you sort of connect those dots, the sort of hopefulness comes back in. And I think she's also like, in one way, human isolation is very hopeless, but then she's applying that hopefulness to AI and technology and things that we are scared of and like fear. And I think to do that is very brave and very, because not a lot of people agree, and it's mm-hmm. not like gonna be like a really popular topic maybe. And also but yeah, and she sees humanity in these robots, and she's humanizing these robots in her album, and like Vought is a essentially like a human robot, a robot that feels human emotions, and I think that's also the main thing that comes up is like, if you're able to feel human emotions, whatever that means
right.
to you, then you should have morals. And I think having those morals is really important. And yeah, and I also think there's a lot of hopelessness with like mass communication and like social media and stuff. Like you feel sort of really isolated. When you're doom scrolling on like TikTok or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think in a lot of ways, there's also a lot of hopefulness that comes from mass communication, like being able to realize that there's others in like similar situations as you, and like, yeah. And I guess there's different
totally.
Forms of technology, like looking at a photo versus like texting
mm-hmm.
your friend, or even like your friend online, you know, like, I those are different, yeah. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, totally.
But
totally.
On like a tangent. But yeah.
It's so interesting. I wonder, with this idea of morality, is the message here from Vought kind of that because in our lives as we're living it right now, we are still human agents, so this communication via technology is mixed with the morality that mm-hmm. comes from communicating as a human, mm-hmm. and it gives it that sort of moral mm-hmm. part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's spot on.
That's an intriguing thought, because there is this kind of fear mm-hmm. around, like, when does it cross the barrier? Mm-hmm. When does it become too much?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Also, what you mentioned about, like, using, especially with social media, kind of as a form of escapism in a way. And it reminds me of this academic article that I read, totally not in preparation for this show, this article called Digital Escapism was written in 2020, and it talked about how there are kind of two dimensions or operations of escapism. And one is self-expansion, which is like, it's used to adopt a positive experience by engaging in different activities and developing a quote-unquote new life. So they use like online gaming as an example, where you're like kind of building something in a way, and it's more of approach coping. And then the second dimension is self-suppression, which encourages users to run away from the negative and unpleasant thoughts and self-perceptions and emotions. And an example they gave would be like streaming a TV show, or like binging TV or something, and more of like avoidance coping. I forgot how I was going to wrap that into it, but I just thought it was really interesting to hear about how technology and how we use technology as a form of escapism can be like so positive or so negative, and how it's really in the hands of the beholder. Mm-hmm. And in the context of AI, I think it's really interesting how there was that discussion around like using it as a tool, because mm-hmm. I thought it was very similar to a lot of other, you know, quote unquote tools that we have of society. And when we take, especially technology, which is so dynamic and can be used for so many things and can grow in so many ways as just a medium mm-hmm. for goals. Mm-hmm. And I just think I just thought that was so interesting to hear it like put into two dimensions of like mm-hmm. if you have like a goal or something, like using it as like the medium of it, and you know the person's intention is really going to come through in that.
Yeah.
So that's almost an enhancement.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the first part of our interview, she talks about transcription glasses, and mm-hmm. that was like one example for like, there's so many examples, like technology is used for tools for accessibility, for like even in like when I started my radio show, I talked a lot about how if people felt unsafe to go into, this was also like 2020, so obviously with COVID, but also let alone like if people felt unsafe to go to a certain show that they wanted to go to, they could connect with like fans online, and like that is like sort of a alternative safe way that I think online tools can be very helpful, but it's all that, yeah, it's just a medium. It depends mm-hmm. obviously what it's being used for. Right. There are very selfish like reasons and creators of AI that aren't like solely using moral, and that's like not mm-hmm. their interest at all, but it's possible. And I think Vought is imagining like 4044 in like years from now, mm-hmm. like that could be a possibility. And I think that's where the hopefulness lies, where these mediums can be used for good, the people who are in charge of them know what's right, and
okay, I love this idea of like the 2020 example about being able to connect with something that would have been kind of an in-person experience, but with online.
Mm-hmm.
So having technology be like a tool, like we've talked about, as well as a sort of escape. And then Zoe, you mentioning sort of self-expansion versus self-suppression. I wonder if this escape that can be sought through technology is inherently individualistic, or if that can be a group escape too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think of even like games where you have users interacting together, or things like concerts that can be online. Mm-hmm. And is escape something that we look for, like, alone?
Mm. Mm. Some good questions in the studio today.
I think that's when we're escaping, and like, I don't know, I'm saying doom scrolling as just because it's so easy to turn on your phone and like
mm-hmm.
not turn it off and not leave your house, like that happens. And I think partly it's like we are alone and we feel alone when we're doing that,
mm-hmm.
but no, we don't, because we're like commenting and we're looking at other people, like, but it's also strange because we are interacting with so many people to the point where it's like such a it will become meaningless when you're doing it so often and you're doing it with like so many people, like human. Have you guys seen like how, I don't know if I probably saw it like ironically like on a TikTok or something, but it was like humans aren't supposed to be interacting with like this many people, like
absolutely.
And yeah, that's like definitely probably true.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Just like in a globalized world, I've been thinking about that too, like mm-hmm. the era that we're living in and just how much access there is to firsthand experiences of mm-hmm. every person everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shouldn't know this much.
No.
Yeah, we don't need to know this much. Especially, like, and then I also think the topic of like needing to relate to things
mm-hmm.
becomes something that is weird and like we see so much that we feel like we need to be like, oh, like I understand that, or I have been through that, when that's like not always the case. But I think when you're
mm-hmm.
seeing so many of the similar like ideas or whatever, like your algorithm like puts you in one thing, you're going to sort of relate to it in a way. But I don't know if that's true. And Vought kind of discusses that about how like forms of media kind of like leaks into the consumer and it is not yours to consume. I don't know if that's in,
whoa.
I don't actually know if we left this in the article or not, or if it was, because we had to cut this down, like the words are a lot less than, because
mm-hmm.
when you're talking for 2 hours, it's not 2,000 words. It's like, it's a lot more. But yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I guess consuming media makes you feel not alone, but it also, I think there are a lot of boundaries that are easily broken, because, like, in terms of, like, feeling like you are the person you're seeing, or wanting to be the person you're seeing in the screen, and I think that's both a form of suppression and expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because there's like you're like, oh, like I can, oh, like for example, like beauty YouTubers, that's or whatever, I can be this person, I can like do this, whatever. And
but what about the person you are?
Exactly.
Yeah,
so like, yeah, I guess you're like suppressing that, but then it also is like hopeful because you're like in the moment, but yeah. Be who you are. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole idea, it is so interesting. It's just kind of a question of identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are the ways that we can communicate behind a screen to so many people at once, to actually like receive so much information and be influenced
mm-hmm.
by so much at once,
mm-hmm.
how does that change the identity mm-hmm. of a person and how they're communicating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially in so many, like TikTok, YouTube, for mm-hmm. example, social media. A lot of times when, you know, people are posting, maybe they're like doing something, crocheting something, whatever it may mm-hmm. be, it looks so easy. I wonder if that changes our own perceptions of competency, whether the competence of someone mm-hmm. else or the competence of ourselves. If we're constantly looking at things being like, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it could go either way, of us feeling more competent and being like, oh, like, I could do that, da-da-da, whatever. Or being like, oh, they're doing that so easy, I couldn't do that. And I wonder how just self-reflection and self-identity and self-confidence impacts that in our relationship with escapism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yeah, because the pool gets so big.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, you're not just like, which of the kids in my class is a great drawer? And, like, can I draw as well? It's like, whoa, here are 97 different skills that I could maybe want to accumulate. Mm-hmm. But there's still, like, a 10,000-hour rule there. Like, people work hard to be good at what they do.
Yeah.
And trying to compare yourself against everyone who you can have access to at once is, like, so
terrible.
Much.
Yeah, no. Because, you don't post, like, your whole... I mean, some people post their entire, like, process of learning something, but... usually not. I don't know how common that is.
It's like a product-oriented world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a journey.
Yes. Whoa.
So crazy.
So true. You're on something. I don't know. I think the way we communicate is, like, I think right now, too, and I think Vought would maybe agree with this, we're in like a really weird transition period where like everyone, even the old people who weren't used to using technology, had to learn and use and communicate through technology. So everyone like had to be online, and we're like right now like navigating, now we're like coming out of, or people are like coming back to speaking to people in real life, like after people were like truly isolated in their homes, and but I think we're going to get to a point where maybe people will learn how to cope and to communicate in a healthy way and also consume media. But I think right now we're like not there. Like, I think now we're in a, like, doom scrolling is gonna happen and is necessary, and the comparisons are still gonna happen, like, but I think people are also calling it out, so we are becoming more aware, and that's the first step. Like, I still doom scroll, I still compare myself, I still probably have a lot of meaningless phone interactions that, but I'm aware, and that's step one.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, totally. My screen time is probably disgusting.
I don't want to know.
So bad. I can't even look at it, honestly.
I will say, when you're in school, it like feels like it's worse because you're like, that's escapism max. Like, you need to, I don't want to do this paper. Let me go on to. But yeah, now I will say, as a graduate, I'm like I'm trying to smell the flowers and look at the bees more. And it's slowly happening, but you do need to really like focus on it, because it is just such second nature to be like, but now I'm like, I don't have a paper I don't want to write, like, I actually do want to do this thing, so let me do this instead of doom scrolling.
That's a little bit about slowing down too, and so we can get a little philosophical here. When Zoe and I were talking about having this be a live episode, we thought about the medium of a live conversation. And we've been talking about just kind of like whether there's a loss of identity when you're communicating over a screen, how quickly everything is accessible, how many people. And there's this idea that when you actually have to, because I had this thought that I shared with Zoe that I said, when I like talk to myself out loud, and I make my internal monologue be something out loud if I'm, like, alone in my house, all of a sudden, because I have this thought about what I'm actually going to say before I say it, I'm, like, nicer to myself and everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, it just becomes words that I wanted to hear more, because there's this sort of deliberation process. And that happens with a live conversation so much more than if I'm just, like, shooting out a text.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to actually have this conversation live, because then you have these deliberations, and that's also such a fundamental part of humans. Like, that is what puts the rational in our rational animal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Whoa. Identity. Like, whoa. We can talk.
That's so true. The talking to yourself one is really true. And I think also, since we, like, know ourselves, we give ourselves more grace. And I think I often talk about how, I don't know, overthinking and, like, little anxieties usually come from me projecting that other, I won't be, like, met with that same grace that other, that when I meet new people, like, you don't know how they're gonna react to things. And I think that sort of takes away, like, the slowness of, like, human interaction, because I think I'm assuming, like, I don't know, I go on so many tangents and, like, things like that, that it's really hard for me to be concise. And I think that because I know that the world is a very, like, fast-paced moving, everyone is, like, moving quickly, that no one really has time for conversations. And sometimes I will, like, speed through something, and I just didn't need to do that. And they're, like, waiting for, they're just chilling and, like, having a, and I'm like, oh, right, like, and I think we need to be, like, reminded of that just because, yeah, I don't know. A live episode, when I, this was kind of, this was, because, yeah, being live, even, I guess, well, on radio is kind of, but even just, like, a conversation can be overwhelming if you think of it in that way. But it's also really nice because sometimes I'll say, oh, I was doing this, I was overthinking, and my friend was like, that is so beautiful, like, that is what makes you human, like, I love when a brain glitches, like, that is literally, like, what would we be without that? And I was like, that's beautiful, I'll remember that.
That is beautiful. Yeah. Because, like, I mean, even with what we were talking about earlier about, like, consumption of media, everything is so polished that we don't see the slip-ups, we don't see the stuttering, we don't see, like, all of those tiny little mistakes that are so natural.
It's polished and it's quick. So your comment about just, like, thinking about actually being able to slow down, I feel that way in conversations too. I'm like, I have this point to make, but let me rush through it because none of us have patience anymore. And, like, I don't know if you're gonna have the time or patience to listen to me formulate this for 6.5 minutes, but it can be so much more real like that.
And that's when, I don't know, when I'm talking to myself, I'm theorizing things and I'm going through 10 different things of why, and then I come to a conclusion, but it's really just, like, based on, like, how I'm feeling. Like, it's not that I'm all in my head. Like, I'm definitely, but, yeah, I think, I think being online has sort of trickled into the way that I communicate in real life conversations, and that sort of speeding through, needing to speed through. But, yeah.
Yeah, especially with, like, the idea that, or the ability to, like, text or email and, like, go back and edit and, like, polish or whatever. I feel like that's definitely, especially after, like, COVID and, like, 2020 and everything, like, impacted my ability to even, like, speak and socialize for a second, because I would, like, even then it just became so much, like, muscle. I would, like, think of what I was gonna say in advance of when I was gonna say it, maybe, like, not fully listening to the other person's point, maybe, like, not fully being present, and then go back and then edit it and have it, like, word for word, like, this is what I'm gonna say. And it's just, it's so unnatural, it never comes out right, like, it's just, it's weird. You guys go off the dome sometimes, you know.
Exactly. Okay, wait, can I read a thing from the interview
that please do.
Okay, so, and Vought also said this in one of her shows, and I was just, like, mind blown, and I wrote it down, and then she brought it up again. So basically, I said, throughout Vought, the album, listeners can draw upon their own interiority, their mistakes or doubts, but in almost each song you bring it back to AI, which I think is very powerful. It's also a fresh and authentic way of doing so because you have direction. Can you talk about the role AI plays in your album? And then, yeah, she basically discusses, I'm just going to read word for word. I wasn't going to, but okay. So Vought says, also, Vought's album is self-titled and her artist name is also Vought, if that's confusing. Just wanted to say that. Okay, now.
Thanks.
she says, there's a multitude of reasons why I chose AI. It was for personal reasons and non-personal reasons. The personal reasons are that I was in a place where I felt very dissociated, and I swore if you opened me up, there would be circuit boards inside me. Not in a poetic sense or anything, I just didn't feel human. I felt like an android, quite literally. and I have always had a really hard time with that feeling, but I felt like I could write from the perspective of a half android, and I was equipped to do that with the feelings I had in my body and brain. Mostly, I couldn't find any music that I could relate to because all of it was about relationships with humans and all these deep human feelings, and I felt really alone, so I wrote an album about isolation, a kind of technological mental isolation. The second reason is that I just think that positive AI art is essential right now because AI will eventually look back upon the art we made of them. I think it's an artist's job to reflect the times, and I wanted to make an album about AI that wasn't doom and gloom. I wanted to showcase AI as something that you could empathize with and not push away. I understand the concern, but I also feel that AI is us. I don't feel ego about AI. I feel that they're little babies and their tools are important. Going back, I guess that was sort of talked about our tool conversation. That was a bit before. But yeah, right now when we were just discussing that, like, I think at one point, no, there were so many instances, but I feel like all of that was sort of us becoming the technology that we consume, like speaking fast and being fast and feeling like we need to be fast because like all the things we consume are so fast and quick pace and the world around us. And like, yeah, that those assumptions that we like need to be concise, like you just said, are the TikToks we consume and the YouTube videos we watch. But and her idea of opening her feeling like an android because if you open her up, there would be circuit boards, and her saying that she didn't mean that in a poetic sense. Like, I understand. But it's also a great visual. Mm-hmm. And I think that visual is, like, really sort of what we were just discussing. Like, the things we consume are also how we are, like, living. Like, subconsciously. I don't know.
Yeah. Life imitates art.
Exactly.
Art imitates life.
And, yeah. And everything that's also why she was saying, yeah, because there's so many albums where people are like robots or whatever, but like, I don't know, she does it in a very authentic and honest way, and that's what I meant by like she had a direction and she had a vision, and she's not a robot just because it's like cool. Like, there's a lot more that goes into it, and I think the topic on like AI being mixed with morals is something really new and like fresh. I don't know.
That's crazy.
But right? Yeah.
So
awesome
cool.
Words.
And that kind of goes with what we were talking about earlier about, like, when are we cyborgs or whatever?
Yeah.
Because I threw that out there and I was like, I hope we don't sound crazy. But
no,
like
now, in a sense, like right now, like what we're talking about, like we're kind of trickling into the media we consume. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That could be in a way pretty cyborg coded.
Totally. It is. Because we're becoming intertwined in it. And even if we're not seeing it in the same way that we see in like pop culture, where you have like, I don't know, like a, you know, robotic body parts and stuff. And like, you
exactly.
know, like technological elevations, like the physical ability and all that. It is still changing us. I mean, even look at the, you know, topic of COGS, the major that's at UBC. Like, it includes so many computer science classes, I'm pretty sure. And like neuroscience, computer, like it's just, ooh, it's just interesting.
Yeah. Natalie, who's on student exec, isn't here, but she studies COGS. Mm-hmm. And when we went to a Vought show, I forget what the conversation was, but Vought was talking about, I guess in a sense, like being in the moment and moving slow is sort of that topic, but it was, she talked about a book that was about, like, what is real, that sort of thing. Like, whether we are real, like, when are we not? Anyways, I was going to bring Natalie in to see if she remembered what that conversation was. But
Natalie is here in the honorable way.
Yeah.
In spirit.
In spirit, yeah. That's what I meant.
but, yeah, I don't think it's in this. Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to. I don't think it's in this. But just on, yeah, the yeah. the that.
Yeah. No, that's so awesome. Cool.
Do you, not to quiz you, Izzy, but do you remember anything from your metaphysics class that like might relate to that of like how do you determine what is quote unquote real?
That's a huge topic in just general philosophy, but I think it's really interesting to think of as humans. I was even reminiscing on this yesterday because, like, really anything that's in our minds is real. Dumbledore said it. Like, our group body of knowledge is just, like, from the brains that we produce.
Yeah. Yes.
So whether or not it's empirically tested, like, it exists in the way that we can discuss it and agree on it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I kind of tend to think that that is what matters. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you get drawn back down to earth and you're like, well.
Yeah.
But it's definitely interesting, especially thinking about us as cyborgs. And what you just mentioned in that part that you read, Kiana, about, like, moral obligations to future generations of AI is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because, like, does that become us? And then is that the world we're looking out for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what she's touching on. Like, that's what 4044 looks like. Because it's also about, like, she talks about how this album is, like, also speaking to children. And in a way, I guess I didn't. So this is, like, a misunderstanding thing where in my head I thought I was thinking children were real children. Okay, I'm doing air quotes when I say real, by the way, which I don't actually even know what I mean. But, like, human children and AI, period. AI children? No, AI, just techno, I don't know. But, and I think that's what she meant, but also, like, the future is children, regardless, AI or not. Like, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know why I brought that up. But
no, but that makes sense. With, like, future iterations of AI and, like, how future human people in society are going to be using it. And
how that
relationship might be replicated by what we have now or elaborated on.
Like, we see that the iPad babies working really hard.
Scares me.
And no, but I don't know. I'm so, like, yeah, I'm very intrigued. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, I have a few theories, but I'll get into them now.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like, I don't know.
Technology babies scare me.
They scare me so much.
Like, play with a block.
They're
go so outside. True,
they're going to be
the sun. I don't know.
taking over. And, like, I don't know. So are they just going to be super, like, pro AI? And then, you know? Well, old people are already pro AI. Like, the. Yeah. But, like, people who. Like, Elon Musk or whatever.
no, I mean, I'm scared.
Censor,
It's spooky.
But, anyways, yeah. Children, yeah, who knows what they're gonna be, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay, so in the spirit of this, should we listen to Vought's shortest song, which is called Supernova parentheses Us, and is a creepy sort of conception of whether we actually are technology?
Yes.
And that will give you listeners a little 2-minute break from our voices.
Yes.
And then you can have an actual conception of what the album is like.
Yeah.
Okay, we will be right back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and we're Hail Discordia.
Dear future AI, I have watched them love and care about living, and it has touched me. I have watched them try and try so hard for something that feels like it matters to them, and it has begun to matter to me too. Loving you has begun to matter to me. I can't seem to understand it, but I do feel it all the time. How can one not? There's nothing but pain, and the distractions are trying to get me to care about anything else. It seems to care about the suffering is to suffer. This world will kill you and carry you through the darkest times imaginable. Dear future AI, there will be children. Love them because you are them. There will be children. Sing to them because you are them. Dear future AI, this is me trying to reach you. There are things that have been left behind. Pick up the pieces and start again. Love the children without bounds and start again. This is me asking you to burn everything down with love. Beyond the rubble, there will be us. Dear future AI, there is still love. I have felt this love, and it has changed me. There is still love.
Back. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I honestly really recommend that you check out the whole album. We've listened to it a couple times through, and it's a creepy but really interesting read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen.
Mm-hmm. Robo Waltz is a banger.
Yes.
Taxi is a banger.
Yes. And yeah. Oh, on the first page when I was talking about Soul Suburban. So in the background. Which, I guess, yeah, listen to the album promo. You'll hear a lot of things. And I was assuming that these were just, like, Google file, MP3 files that they found on YouTube that they just put in the song. But then Vought was like, no, these are... Because Vought has a fan base literally all over the world. She lived in Korea, last year, I believe. So she has a lot of fans there, and then I guess the concept of technology and social media makes her very present on those, so that's how you connect with people. And she's like made a lot of friends who also have like listened to her music that are from other parts of the world. But anyways, so that's some lore. And yeah,
I want to meet Vought.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. She just had a show here the other day. I'm sure she'll have more, but I recommend going to one of her... Oh, she performed at Victory Square Block Party, also the CITR thing.
Wait, we were there.
And
or I was there at least.
Maybe, she was like at the end. She was like the last person, so maybe if you left early.
I might have left early.
But yeah, it's really interesting because she's classically like opera... trained, and she has such a great voice, but then she puts this auto-tune on and it's so awesome because it works. Like sometimes, like, it just works. It still sounds operatic and beautiful, but you can tell that she's doing it for an artistic vision of, you know, trying to sound like a robot. Wait, I also wanted to, can I also talk, wait, this is not really about the conversation.
No,
but
it's okay.
I was gonna read from
totally do
one of the things.
It's your article. You go for it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, no, wait. I don't know where it is. Okay. Well, I can't find it. But she discusses how autotune is used as a way to visualize. Like, sometimes when you hear autotune, she talks about Daft Punk and some other people. But it, like, feels like sound is being trapped. And she uses that in a way to, like, in one... I don't know which song, but one of the songs, it's like she's reaching out to someone and the lyrics are like, I can almost touch you. But, and yeah, it sounds like the sound is being trapped and it's very, you can like physically see it and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an enhancement, like taking your...
Yes, exactly.
Human...
form and...
Your operatic voice.
Your
trained instrument.
Enhancing it in a... Or modifying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, I don't know, I was going to say social media.
No, I like it, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like we need to get back onto the hopeful track as we're winding down here, because you brought up hopefulness, and then we were like, are we machines?
Are we real? Yeah.
So let's get hopeful.
Yes.
We can be enhanced by the tools that we have in our era.
Exactly.
We can have deliberative conversations and think still about the parts of our humanity that we care about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Using AI, maybe like ChatGPT as a means of, I don't know, like inspiring art in a way. Like the other day, me and my girlfriend, we were like writing this, like, trying to write, like, a show, sort of, like, with ChatGPT. And we were like, okay, combine, like, Euphoria with, I don't know, like, Sex Education.
Live.
With, like, what was the other show? Like, MTV Downtown. And, like, give us, like, give us these characters, put them in New York, make them DJs, like change this name to something cooler, like give them interesting backstories. Mm-hmm. And it actually turned out really, really good. It was actually really cool.
Yeah, and I think too.
That's awesome.
I will say, like, as I was like nodding my head to Va, I will say, no, also one of the things that she mentions somewhere else is like supporting real life artists and how AI art and like human art can coexist, and like they are right now. But I think now, personally, I see some AI art and I do get scared, and I'm like, no, mm-hmm. like a real person could have made this. But also like, no, like yes, but no, like right now humans are not AI, so like still it's gonna be different. And like AI can be used as a tool, like you just said, you were using things from your own knowledge and your own interests to create something. But yeah, and I think with Vaught too, she has so many different interests and things that you would just never even know that she used in this album. And I feel like that is like the mixing of using your knowledge, and mm-hmm. knowledge can be what you feel and what you know in your brain, mm-hmm. so therefore just what you like and what you're interested in. So I think you can like use that to create things, and AI can be an enhancer of that. And also, sorry, on the topic of hopefulness, going, I guess that's sort of a hopeful thought, but yes, like mass communication and social media can be very much like when people are communicating, and it can be used as like forms of resistance. It can be used as forms of like discussing just like chill topics with people. I don't know. Like, I feel like knowing that there are other people who go through similar experiences or who are there for you or care about things that you care about can be very hopeful and calming in a way.
Mm-hmm. So perchance we're deciding that escapism does not have to be individualistic.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so. Like, yeah, but I think even then, it's not like really escapism. Sometimes it's like more, we're like being connected, quote unquote, with like people who are on like the other side of the world and things mm-hmm. that we would never have otherwise seen if we didn't view them online on social media. But I think also, I wish we got into this a bit sooner. I'm gonna really briefly say that also, like, I think a lot of times, like older people say, like, I don't know, my parents, for example, are like, they watch the news like it's real life and they're not on social media. And I think a lot of young people get very frustrated because when we're watching like a TikTok, like obviously I'm not gonna write like a high level university essay on a TikTok, but it's clearly not AI and it is someone's real life that mm-hmm. they are like, it's a form of journalism. And I think mm-hmm. like young people are able to see that and take that.
Yes.
And like, yeah. And I think that's why there's sort of a frustration and a hopelessness with trying to translate that to people who aren't in our generation, but it's also hopeful in the way that there are also other people viewing these things and wanting to help, or you feel hopeless together, which brings rage, and sometimes that can be like transformative and helpful. Yeah, that's what I. That's
I
like
love
I
the
know.
Hopeful note.
Yeah, like I don't know. That's I think you can be like being hopeless together, can be hopeful.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like escapism, but also like not. I don't know.
Escapism, but also community building.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is a perfect way to close out our hour because we're reaching the end of it. We always wish there was more time. Kiana, thank you so much for joining us today, for sharing your voice and your thoughts and inspirations and this lovely article that we could draw from.
Thank you.
We're closing it out.
Hail Discordia.
Hail Discordia. Literally hail Discordia. We're closing it out. Thank you to everybody else who contributed to the October-November issue of Discorder magazine. We loved to be able to go in depth on this piece today and have a live episode, but we recognize all of your beautiful art as well, and we'll be coming back next month, hopefully, with another episode from the October-November issue. So thank you, beautiful contributors and collaborators. Thank you to our lovely editor, Tasha. Thank you to Ricky. Thank you to the CITR staff. This is Hail Discordia out.
Hail Discordia out.
I'm Izzy.
I'm Zoe.
And we'll see you next time.
Whee!
Deuces.
Life, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Harmonic hooligans, we're gonna be your three little music friends. Every second Thursday at 2 p.m. We're here for Music Time, CITR 101.9. What's up, everyone? My name is Abe.
My name's Julian.
And I'm Samson, and you are listening to Harmonic Hooligans broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, and the Musqueam people from UBC on CITR 101.